Morning, everybody. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the second Sunday before Advent. So just some notices before we start. I guess all of you will have seen the news during this last week surrounding the publication of the Makin report, which led to the resignation of Justin Welby as Archbishop of Canterbury. There's been much written and said about this in the media, some of it good, some of it just simply misinformed, some of it absolutely mischievous. So let me encourage you to read Samuel's excellent summary of what led to this unsavoury episode and also what may follow from now on. It was in the emailed notice sheet, which went out to everybody the other day. It's quite a long read, but it's got all the helpful information for about how this happened, what has happened, and what will happen afterwards, with links to various really helpful pieces, which will help you to understand exactly what's happened. If you don't do email, there are some hard copies at the back of the church as well. But please do take that, give it a go, look at it, and you will better understand where we as a church are now. The media would have us believe that the Church of England is in crisis. It's not. The bishops are in crisis. At a parish level, safeguarding operates really well. It's very efficient, as those of you who have had to do the safeguarding training here can testify. It is rigorous and it works. Ironically, the Church of England has nominated today as Safeguarding Sunday. You couldn't make it up, could you? But we took a decision not to acknowledge Safeguarding Sunday because we don't think we need to. Our safeguarding operates brilliantly because of Emma Byrne, who is our safeguarding officer, makes sure it does. So I do hope that Samuel's note is helpful, but it raises up lots of things. But if you do want to discuss any of that, please do grab Samuel or contact him and discuss it with him. And as a second resort, I'm happy to talk to anybody who wants to discuss it. But there it is. I mean, it's happened and we just have to get on with it. We're at a parish level and parish level works. What else is there? Oh yeah, our Christmas services are on the website now. So please do have a look at that to see what's going to happen. A little bit different this year, one or two changes. So I won't go through those now, but so please do have a look at those. And I said we're not operating Safeguarding Sunday. We are operating, however, Shoebox Sunday, and that is today. So during our first hymns, our gifts of shoeboxes, if Catherine could help bring some up of as we sing the first hymn, yeah? Good. Let's worship. We'll sing our first hymn, hymn number 457.
Thank you.
Let's pray a blessing on those shoeboxes before they leave. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the generosity of those who have prepared these boxes for Christmas presents for kids in places where they are underprivileged. Lord, would you bless them? Would you keep them safe as they travel, so that they may arrive and that the children who receive them may know that they have been given with the love of Christ, because we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
We sit on kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen.
Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Collect Prayer for the second Sunday before Advent. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
If you'd like to sit, we'll now hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. And again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 1030, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we start at verse 1. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you afresh this morning. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. The word gospel means good news. And as Christians, we believe that in Jesus Christ, the whole world is offered the good news of God's love for them. But the New Testament also witnesses to the fact that not everyone receives God's love as good news. Incredible as it may seem, some people look at Jesus and they hate him and all that he represents. Some feel threatened. Some are bored. Some hate the way Jesus ruins their preconceptions about God. And some simply just fail to recognize what it is that's on offer. So, the scripture passages that we get to read in these Sundays leading up to Advent, I think they're quite dark. They seem to be full of foreboding and warning. They remind us that it's possible to completely reject the love of God and therefore reject your own life. It's possible to live in such a way that you don't recognize life when it's standing in front of you. And so, true to form, all our three readings today are set against a background of what appears to be a disintegrating world. Daniel and Mark Both seem to be talking about the future, although there's nothing to indicate exactly when that future might come to pass. Daniel speaks about a time when what he calls deliverance comes at the same time as a sense of anguish. The word that Daniel actually uses is the word distress. Distress, such a strong word. And yet it could certainly be used to describe the lives of many living today. Those living and dying in poverty. Those living during war, disease, torture, injustices of all kinds. In these circumstances, to long for a protector is perfectly natural, just as natural as it is to assume that that protector's job is to condemn our enemies. But that's not what Daniel says. Daniel takes a completely different tack. He prefers to look forward to a time when wisdom and righteousness will be in plain sight. He sees these qualities as lights in the sky. And under the gaze of these lights, Daniel says that we won't need to condemn or praise one another, because the light itself will make the ultimate judgment clear. Daniel isn't so much concerned with being justified himself and seeing his enemies suffer, but he longs to know what is good and what is right. And then our gospel reading from Mark. So from there we hear what the disciples want to know is when. But as per usual, they don't get an answer. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the disciples very often seem to have their eyes fixed on the future. When will Israel be restored? When will Rome be overthrown? Which of us will eventually sit at God's right hand? They're aware that they are part of something important, but a lot of the time, it doesn't feel important in a way that they can actually identify. And now, finally, Jesus seems to be talking about some kind of revolutionary change. At last, they say. So when's it going to happen? And how can we be sure that we're ready for action when it all kicks off? What will the signal be? Frustrating for the disciples, that is, Jesus simply describes to them the world that they and we have to live in. And exactly as in Daniel's time of distress, what's missing is any certain way of being really sure where the truth lies. Many different factions will be claiming to represent the work of Christ. And if you want a modern day example, you only need to think of the two world wars we remembered only last week, where both sides prayed to the same God for victory. And then there's the recent presidential election in America, where both sides thought they had a candidate ordained by God. Simple realism suggests that we won't always get it right. Some of us will be led astray. We won't always be able to resist being alarmed by the way things are. So you'll need to read the rest of this gospel passage to find out what strategy Jesus recommends for this. But I can give you a small clue. Not only is the answer in the rest of chapter 13 of Mark's gospel account, but you'll find that the writer to the Hebrews had the exact same strategy as we heard earlier. Concentrate on Jesus. In the work of Jesus, everything is already accomplished. The writer to the Hebrews sets out for us a few simple tips. This is what he said. Verse 23. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And then in the next verse, 24, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And then verse 25, do not give up meeting together. And then again in verse 25, encourage one another. In summary, total dependence on the faithfulness of God. We are all called to be faithful, to hold on and to not be alarmed. We're called to live through troubled times and to last out to the end. We may witness the destruction of cherished and beautiful symbols. Our calling, though, is to hold on to Jesus himself and to continue to trust him. We're called to live with what Jesus called the birth pains of God's new age, and to trust that in his good time, the new world will be born. It's tempting to want to charge around, wielding judgment in God's name. But remember that in Mark, we hear Jesus saying, that's just what the imposters do. Christian disciples work at living together in Christ. So how do we react to all of this? Well, I think it depends on your picture of God. What do we think God is like? What image do you have of God? And where do you think that image comes from? For some people, God is loving and kind, like a benevolent grandparent. For others, God is stern and judgmental. For some, God is protective. For others, God is always on the verge of anger. For some, God is patient and long-suffering, while for others, God is impatient and doer. So why should the good news of the love of God seem so alarming? It shouldn't be, especially if we remember where it comes from. So let me share with you the picture of God that Jesus draws for us. This is a picture of a God who loves us so much that he cares deeply about how we treat each other. A picture of a God who loves us so much that he will come in the person of Jesus, take on our lot and our life, share our hopes and dreams, our fears and failures. The picture of a God who wants us to know that he loves us so much that he will finally die on a cross, that we might have life and have it abundantly. So, to be loved with God's total, consuming, transforming, and utterly amazing love. Are we really ready for that? Because our pictures of God matter. Choose the real picture, choose life. Why should the good news of the love of God be so alarming? Why should we be so alarmed? For a long time, I've suspected that a lot of people come to church each week with the nagging fear that they're not good enough for God. As a result, a lot of even the most virtuous of Christian deeds are actually fueled by guilt and fear, accompanied by an overwhelming desire to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when the final reckoning is called. So let me tell you, set in complete opposition to this fallacy, you will hear again and again from this pulpit the really good news that in Christ we're all saved by grace and by grace alone. You cannot earn your salvation. If we're in Christ, then what God will say to us at the end of days isn't in question, and it most certainly won't be determined by whatever score or grade we have managed to achieve on any report card of life. So just one final thought. Please, please, when you are asked the question, are you going to heaven when you die? The answer definitely is not I hope so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts and a sincere desire to deepen our trust in you and strengthen our faith. Our journey through life can be filled with uncertainties and challenges. However, we know that you are our unchanging source and stability. And our hope through Jesus is that we no longer need to walk in death and darkness, bringing us instead life in our crazy world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We today think of all those who, in a host of ways, have been abused, either as children or adults or both, causing their confidence to be undermined, a cloud of fear, of fresh indignities day by day, and hurt overshadowing all, even feeling like outcasts, rejects, or socially inadequate and inferior. Bring them help and healing, Lord, and give wisdom and guidance to all who seek to prevent abuse, to weed it out, and bring justice to those who have committed it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We think of those in places torn by hatred, intolerance, division, violence, those in lands ravaged by hunger, oppression, disease and injustice, those in countries broken by drought, famine, war and exploitation. To all for whom life is dark, Lord, bring new light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you, Father, all working in our NHS, the doctors, nurses, consultants, admin, GP surgeries, paramedics and ambulance drivers, and many, many others. Give to decision makers the vision, wisdom and courage they need to safeguard its future and to ensure it remains fit to respond to the challenges of our time, providing free quality care to all at the point of need. Through all they do, bring help and healing. Lord, in your mercy. We think of those coping with difficulties in their relationships, those whose job is under threat or who are finding themselves unemployed, those nursing sick or incapacitated loved ones, or who are ill themselves, and those coming to terms with the death of a loved one or the prospects of their own death. In a moment of silence, we bring to you those we know personally who also need our prayers at this time. To all whom life is dark, Lord, bring new light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In November, we turn our thoughts towards Christmas. Who will go to whom this year, and what we would do about cards and presents. In our churches, help us to hold back on Christmas and make proper space first for Advent. And in society as a whole, help us to make proper space for kindness, generosity and care for the outsider as the race for Christmas gathers speed. We also pray for our ministry team during this time for strength to minister and quiet times for thought and prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? As we stand, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The face of God shines brightly on us, that we might be saved. The love of God revives us, that we might call upon God's name. Seek out the shining face of God in one another as we share the peace of Christ. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
with you. Share with one another, a sign of that peace. As we stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 488, Rock of Ages. And I just encourage you to take special note of the words in verse 3. These words are a perfect prayer for you as you approach this rail to receive Holy Communion. So as we stand, let's sing.
Thank you.
Today we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let's sit on you for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is
alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith and with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The blood of Christ, a gift from heaven. Gracious Lord, in this holy sacrament you give us substance to our hope, bring us at the last to that fullness of life for which we long. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I see Tiger Club are in their appointed pews. Do you want to come out and tell us? We don't have to come out, you can do where you are if you can. Yeah, of course you can.
So at Tiger Club we created these boxes and then designed them.
And we also made brownies.
If you need to.
And it was because basically in the story, Jesus was talking about, no, his disciples were talking about how like great this temple was. And then Jesus said it would all be destroyed.
And sometimes, and the lesson was, people can lead you astray instead of leading you the right way.
So we all laugh, yeah. But that is really difficult for these kids to come up and stand here in front of us. And I think just to put it in perspective, what I think we ought to do, if not today, because it probably isn't fair, but maybe 1 week, we'll get all the children back, and then we'll ask an adult to come out and explain to them what we've been learning about. But not today, I promise. Well done, kids, that's brilliant. Well done. So let's stand then, and we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 21, And Can It Be?
Thank you.
leave with this blessing. May the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that, knowing his love, broad and long, deep and high, beyond our knowledge, you may be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those for whom you pray, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord.
Amen.